For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. Welcome to Punch Drunk Sports. Exciting week of sports. We're back in the saddle. Ari's back in the States. Were you back in the States? Oh, yeah, you were technically in Hawaii, but you weren't on the mainland. What do you want? You want your water, sorry. Frank? Frank is like a baby. Give me, Papa.
Thank you.
A lot of stuff's going on. Everybody's in the studio.
Switch positions?
What's that?
Yeah, he's over there now.
Yeah, oh, okay. Frank's over here because...
I'm over here now.
What's that?
I'm over here now.
Yeah. Oh, is that Frank? Frank's got a bad Italian accent?
Dice. I don't know why.
I thought it was Jimmy and Joey combined into one terrible Dice impression.
Nothing's better than going on those role submissions, the breakdowns, and seeing looking for another Jimmy. Three months, then they realize this isn't going anywhere.
Their fucking name's on the wall.
Every 2 years.
Their name is on the wall.
Yeah, but
they're better than you.
Yeah,
exactly. And that makes me upset.
So you're better.
Okay, man, we got a couple sponsors let's talk about. We've got BetDSI.com.eu for all your betting needs. I've been making some money. I've been making some bets. I've been having a good time. I'm laying all the money. I want to get into this Joanna Champion. Let's say you want to lay money on her. You have to lay like $450 on her to win $13.
What? Who's she fighting?
I don't know, but she's so dominant that they're like, there's no way she's losing this thing.
What is she, the 125-pounder?
Yeah, she's like Joanna Chessick or whatever her name. We'll get into all that. We got Tommy Toho calling in. So go to BetDSI.com and use Punch Drunk as your promo code. Get $10 betting cash. Also, go to CavemanCoffee.com. Caveman Coffee for all your coffee needs. We've been getting up. People love that coffee. Thank you for buying our links and not going to that other podcast.
Fuck them. Fuck those kikes.
I want them so bad.
Dude. I want fighter. We are going to fight them very soon.
We're not.
Not even a bag of bets. It's just for fucking fun.
You guys can fight. I'll be ring.
Just a beat down for fun.
I was kind of indirectly talking to Tate when I commented on one of his Facebook pics. He did not reply to it. He actually liked the post.
That's it. He's in. Cheap shot on shop.
That's like a legal binding kind of situation by liking a post. Like if I'm like, hey, we should go rob a bank, and then you like that post, even if you're not involved in robbing the bank, cops are going to ask you some questions.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think like is like if you go, hey, girl, what are you doing tonight? And she likes your thing, you can rape her. I think that's the rule. That's what I heard.
I also heard that Brian Callen, that might be true.
That's the word on the street. That's consent.
I heard that Brian Callen is a firm supporter, longtime supporter of Turkey and all their.
What?
What? And I also caught wind last night at the comedy show. I was talking to some reliable sources.
Reliable sources?
Yeah. I almost ran a dike over with my car, and she goes, before you fucking kill me, I got a hot tip.
Oh, good. Tebow's still at it.
I got a hot tip. Callen and Schaub rape children.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to buy coffee from them?
What kind of source was it? Reliable?
Americans. Very reliable. She was a
very reliable source. Yep. Wow, uh-huh. They made children.
It was the same girl. She goes,
it's the same one
that told Sam that Justin Timberlake was gay.
Wow.
Ari,
and Kobe Bryant, the girl admitted she didn't get raped.
Ari, have you ever heard this joke before? I'm proud to announce I have children now. Yeah, I kidnapped them last night. Have you ever heard anyone do that joke? Okay.
No.
Let me finish these up.
Doesn't it sound like a joke, though? You're like, I haven't heard it, but
I'm not saying
it hadn't been said.
I'm just saying, have you ever heard anyone do that joke?
Yeah.
Real quick, also, go to betdsi.com. I mean, go to Punch Drunk Sports and use our Amazon links. And kbackcoffee.com, use Punch Drunk Sports, and you'll get all your coffee needs, 10% off. Real quick. The people who run the website, Tebow, want me to do a video with you where you do your 5 parlay pick.
Love it.
Will you do that if I film it for you?
No way.
Why?
Why?
Why wouldn't I do it? Of course I'll do it.
Well, I've been asking you to do videos in the podcast forever.
Yeah, but you got to set it up for him.
Oh, I got to do it for him?
I mean, look at Tebow. He's a lifelong loser.
Why don't you
set
it up, do it,
okay. I respect
record
that opinion.
It, and then post it. And then I don't have to do anything.
So you want me just come up with the camera, you talk shit, and then I go home and I post it for you.
No, I will be off camera. I will tell you what to say while you record it, and then you go, and that was brought to you by Tebow.
A couple notes on that.
Okay, go notes. Ahead. I love when the industry gives notes. By the way, your industry.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get some notes from you?
Hey, wait a minute. You're wearing a
producer,
t-shirt.
Bro.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize you without your suit, faggot.
Here we go, Tebow.
Could use a little more Tebow, I think, in that. I think we don't really know without them viewing them.
Okay, so while he's doing it, in the background, I'll yell, I'm in the room!
Let's try it that way. Shoot it the other way, just for coverage, too.
Now, technically, do we have to take your notes?
That's how they always get you. They're like, let's just do it for coverage. And it's always, you got to be like, no, I don't want to use that fucking shot. Yeah. Don't even get it for coverage.
Now, let me say this. I did a 5-team parlay. And I was extremely confident in those 5. You're extremely confident.
How'd you do?
I watch, in the last 10 years, I have watched every single NFL game, every single play of every single game. I get paid from the NFL. I stand next to Andrew Siliano, who's one of the most knowledgeable broadcasters of football. You'd be very hard-pressed to know more about football than me. I got 3 of the 5 wrong. That's how hard it is.
That's not really a ringing endorsement.
No, I'm saying
that you're gonna be like, I got cold hard locks. I get them all. I get 90% of my parlays. You're like, I've been watching a lot of football, and I got most of it wrong.
What I'm saying is, that's how hard it is to hit a 5-team parlay. And everybody's on Twitter. It's like, dude, you should do a 2 or 3-team parlay. I go, those don't pay good.
Yeah, maybe, but the problem is you missed 3 out of 5. Is that was point spread or just straight up?
No, that was just money line. It was money line, and all of those were like huge upsets.
Oh
and
yeah, there's.
Maybe you do know sports though. Maybe you do know football. How are you doing in the fantasy football league this year?
Oh, how are you doing? That's our
in
question.
In Punch Drunks League, I'm doing just as good as you are. Where Ari and I now reside in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who's in number one? Who's number one? Great guy, number one.
You are
number one. Yeah, let me show you real quick. Can you see that, Ari? Can you read that?
Let it equalize. Yeah, there we go. Armenian genocide.
Yeah. Oh, come on. We're hitting all the things. Real quick, dates out of the gates. Real quick, Ari Shaffir, where are the many places you're going to go?
Well, as always, you can find my dates at AriTheGreat.com. But this Sunday, I'll be doing a This Is Not Happening show with Steve Simone and Sean Patton. But this whole weekend, I'm going to be in Philadelphia at Helium.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So excited.
Next week, Dallas.
All right. Next week, Dallas. Aaron, where are you going to be? Here. Aaron's going to be here all week. While you look up your things, where are you going to be, Frank?
I'm doing 3 nights at my dad's birthday. So
nice.
That's gonna be great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
So is that a Mexican thing, 3-night birthdays?
My dad's a huge drinker, and his birthday parties are 3 nights.
Okay.
He called me. Go ahead.
I think for Mexican birthdays, they mow the lawn into shapes of knockoff Spider-Mans.
That's great. How much chiclet is at a 3-day Mexican birthday?
Oh, as much as you want. so much factory, cheaper.
Right?
Yeah. So congrats. Now let me ask, since you're going to be shit-faced, will you be doing a different set every night? Or will you just do the same set because no one will remember it?
Oh, different set. No one's going to remember it.
Okay, man. Fun with Mexican birthdays. Jason Tebow, where the fuck you going to be?
I'm going to be in Sam's living room sometime in the next 4 days yelling what he can say from off camera on a 16 parlay. I'm not going down to 4. I'm going up to 6.
Okay, that's fun. I have a couple things going on. I'm very excited. I'm writing on a new live show. It's called the Nighttime Show with Stephen Glickman. I'm writing on it. It's been a lot of fun. Our show is tomorrow night at the Lyric Theater on La Brea. That's at 10:30. It's a really great show. We got the guy who does Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force is going to be on the show. So
who's that?
Let me find his name real quick. He's look it up real quick. He's going to be there. I write the monologue jokes with them, and we write bits. We have a whole bunch of great shit going on. And then Friday night, we have the comedy rap battles going on in the Belly Room. And then the following week,
Dana Snyder.
Dana Snyder will be there. The following week, I will be in Las Vegas with Ryan Sickler at the Comedy Chaos at Backstage. Yeah. Bar and Billiards, and shows at 9 o'clock. We got Gooch. We got Mark Mattman. Matt Markman, and a whole bunch of other locals will be coming down. That's going to be a great show. And then the Thanksgiving Day weekend, this is my final thing, I'm going to be at Flycatchers in Tucson with Pauly Kalias. And then I'm going to be the Saturday, the 28th. I will be at the Taffy Room at Stamp Scottsdale doing my own private show in the side room with my good friend Kevin Elliott and a bunch of locals from Phoenix. So come out, 2 shows, 8 and 10 p.m. All that is on my website, samtripoli.com. Got it done. Bam! Might be somewhere on New Year's. Should have that info for you soon. And that's it. And if you want to book Sam Tripoli private, hit me up, nigga.
If you need your lawn mowed, hit me up. Ari, I'm doing something you haven't done one time this year, talking to Talboy about fantasy football. And he runs your team.
Yeah, we're not really in it this year.
Yeah.
Tripoli
had to step in and do that fucking bullshit trade you guys do and stop that. Look how it affected you guys.
Well, it wouldn't have helped. We're both in last place.
But if you got like a top shelf player, that could change your game.
If I had a top shelf player, I wouldn't fucking be doing better. And this is the one league.
Read off your team.
This is the league where I was drafting at your place, and it just froze, and it just started randomly drafting people.
Oh, aren't you
lucky? I already had 3 receivers, and then it drafts fucking this Eagles receiver.
Aren't you lucky?
Bullshit. If he doesn't get receivers, how are we supposed to take them from him?
Yeah.
It's a trickle-down effect.
Let's see it. Read out your team.
All right. But my other 3 leagues, I'm doing all right.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No, I really
read
am.
Out your team.
Comedy Store, I'm doing good.
Read out your team.
Red State fucking. All right, I'll then shut the fuck up. Nobody talk till I load it. Don't anybody say shit.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up, Jew. I don't want anybody to have anything to listen to while in your fucking car. Sorry, Sam. No laughing. I got to get my shit loaded.
What's your score?
By the way, getting Ari angry.
Why are you talking?
Getting
why?
Getting
shut up! I don't care. This is what it's like.
Getting Tebow.
No.
It's like
not a word.
When the Avengers try to piss off the Hulk because they need him to save them, you just get Tebow pissed and the funny angry guy comes out.
Ryan at quarterback, been hurting me in every league for the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
McFadden, who's doing good, but he's only been doing good for 3 weeks.
Okay.
There's like 9 running backs in that situation, but that's panned out. D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
But he's... You know, you could take away the 4 weeks that, what's his face was there.
Okay.
What's your name?
Julius Randle?
No. D'Angelo Williams is,
okay. Oh, Bell.
Le'Veon Bell. AJ Green is doing okay. Colston, who I didn't even draft. your kitchen drafted Colston for me. Antonio Gates, who was gone the first 4 weeks, so he was just sitting on my bench.
But great.
Yeah. He's been doing good for... The last 4.
Yeah.
Who is that on your
Lynch,
bench?
Who hasn't done shit.
Nope.
That was my first pick.
Marshawn Lynch?
Yep. Jimmy Graham, who can suck my dick.
Oh, I bet you would.
There's two people that I want to fight more than Jimmy Graham, and it's Fighter and the Kid.
Fuck, that was
those
great
child molesting terrorists who hate coffee. Jimmy Graham, I will own it because I did it in two of my four leagues. I will admit that was a mistake. That I thought, you know what, man, Jimmy Graham, even if he plays receiver, he's still, like, he's got great hands. He's a tall target. He's a red zone target. And everybody wants to tell me every day what a great quarterback fucking that midget is. And we're seeing now that he's not that great.
Who?
Seattle's quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
I mean, he controls the clock well. He can move the chains. But he's not a guy that takes over the game.
Yeah.
That defense has bailed him out time and time again. And they lost their defensive coordinator, and they lost four defensive starters, and now they're not winning those close games.
Yep.
Now they're just a regular team again.
We'll get into all of that.
Sure. Let's see. Vincent Jackson injured. And Kenny Britt didn't even draft him. I wouldn't even talk to him if he was sitting next to me in a bar.
Hey, how do we do this?
This is boring.
How do we do this?
I know.
What'd you say, Ari?
I said his team sucks and this is boring.
Yeah, the guy that's like, hey, I'm dying to hear your fucking team. Hang on, we're getting a phone call.
Oh, Sam.
What's up, guys?
Who's this?
This is Matt from San Diego, the wind tunnel guy.
Matt from San Diego, wind tunnel guy. What's going on? You're on with Jason Tebow. He's having a meltdown. How are you?
Meltdown.
I love Red State team. I want to go a little Red State team right now on the fucking Minnesota Vikings and their bitch coach, Mike Zimmer. And fucking Rodney Harrison complaining about Jeff Fisher being a dirty coach. What a bunch of bullshit that is. If anyone thinks that fucking and intentionally hit Teddy Bridgewater in the head in a fucking 3-point game in the fourth quarter of a field position game, you're a fucking moron.
Did you watch I assume you either don't like the Vikings or you do like the Rams?
I'm a Rams fan.
Oh, cool.
So you watched that replay?
Yes.
Do you think that there's any way whatsoever he could have fucking pulled that shoulder over of, like, I get that he was sliding. Now, when you slide first, you can't touch a quarterback at all. I get that he was coming at him, but he really did look like he kind of leaned that shoulder in a little bit towards him.
Like, yeah. I mean, fucking, if you want to run around like a little fag back there as a quarterback, you're going to get fucking hit in the head sometimes.
And that's a fantastic point.
That's
with
a
lot of merit to it.
Well,
I hear what you're saying. If you're running around like a little fag back there, you're going to get hit in the head.
That's what happens to fags. Hitting heads.
You know what? I heard a lot of professional sportscasters bring that point up. I think they talked about
Mike
in the morning. We're like,
this is football. What? The guy's loading up?
Thank you.
We can't load
Thank
up
you.
In football?
What do you mean load up?
Like, I don't...
You don't want a fucking 15-yard penalty at that point in the game, obviously. But to fucking think that actually told him to hit him in the head or something like
I see what you're saying, bro. I see what you're saying, bro. And I'll say this. I don't think this is in any way, shape, or form has anything to do with a coach being like, hey, man, you see that guy, you see the quarterback? There's one thing I want to say at this team meeting. You see that quarterback running around like a little fag, you knock his head off. I don't think there was anything. I don't think Fisher had anything to do with this. What I do think is these guys, all they want to do is get their hands on that quarterback. Even when there's an interception, when there's an interception and you're not the guy with the ball, and all the defensive players become offensive players, and now they're blocking. Everybody goes, "Where's Andrew Luck? Where's fucking Aaron Rodgers?" Now you can hit him. And just clean his clock on an interception trying to get a pick six.
Yeah.
So when Bridgewater's running and he slides for a first down, and this defensive player has already dove to try to hit him, his dick is rock hard to fucking hit this guy. He knows it's in his head. I can't touch him because he's sliding, but I can fucking, you know what I mean? And hit him in his head. His head bounces on the turf, and he was fucking knocked out. He was just doing one of those things where his arm was like, you see his arm all stiff and shit, and you're like, oh, he's unconscious.
You can't legislate out violence out of a violent game. It's just, it's part of the game.
I don't think you can legislate it out, but I think you can create rules for the areas that are really, really dangerous where you're like, hey, man, you can't chop block somebody's knees when he's looking this way. You can't block his knees this way because too many people are getting their ACLs blown out and MCLs blown out, and it's ruining people's careers.
Yes.
So, okay, let's change those rules. So you're like, okay,
yeah,
if the quarterback's running and people are coming full steam at him, if he dives head first, you can murder him. If he fucking tries to lean his shoulder, you can kill him. But if he spaceball slides, he is immediately down where the slide starts, and you can't dive at him and get a cheap shot at him because he is surrendering.
Yeah, he's surrendering. That's
he's
fair.
He's surrendering.
That's fair.
And that's what Bridgewater did. He slid feet first, and this guy dove at him, and instead of, like, just, like, rolling off and not touching him, he gave him a little bit of the shoulder right to the head.
Ari, I want to get into the Hardy situation with you, but I got a guy calling in for the UFC. Do you want to get into Hardy now, or do you want to get into after?
Isn't he calling in like, 8 minutes?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a long conversation.
About Hardy or about this guy?
About Hardy.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's do UFC first because I have something I would like to say about UFC.
Okay. Hold
Did
on.
You guys see that press conference? Oh wait.
Which one? Go on.
With the guy who was spent 14 months in prison in Switzerland or Sweden for stealing a purse.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, there's this. Frank, start looking for this.
I'm looking at it right now. Do you know that?
There's a guy.
Just Google purse.
Purse UFC press conference. He went to jail for stealing a purse. Or stealing purses, and this guy, his opponent, brought a purse to the press to the weigh-ins and threw it at him, and they fucking ran at each other.
Oh my god!
Yeah, he threw a purse at him after he went to jail for stealing purses.
This is a UFC fight.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Dana White was in the middle of it.
Is it 193?
Is it on the next? Is it on the next card?
Hey, Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy's here. Join us in. Let's see if he knows anything about this. Join us. He's got a great show on YouTube. The videos are excellent. Please welcome to the show one more time. Every card we bring him in because he seems to have some great insight. Tommy Toehold, everybody, welcome.
Tommy Toehold,
thank you for having me on again.
No problem. Now we're discussing. What are you bringing up?
Thursday.
One more time.
Yeah, you're talking about Norman Park and Reza Madadi, and that happened on the Dublin card on October 24th or the 23rd, the day before in the weigh-in. Yep.
Oh my! I like that.
First of all, who won that fight?
Norman Park, the guy who threw the purse, ended up winning.
Good.
So he backed it up, and yeah, the guy who stole the purse, I think the purse was like $150,000. It was like fucking. It wasn't like a little purse. Like this thing was some kind of designer, something fucking crazy.
Well, Tommy, the purse that he threw at him at the press conference was a really expensive purse.
The one he threw at him, or the one
Not the one. Not the one he threw at him. I think that was just like whatever. But I mean, the one that the guy stole that he got in trouble for, the purse that dude stole was $150,000.
You know what would be so hilarious is like this guy just loves stealing purses. So when his opponent at the press conference throws a purse at him, he just catches it like it's a screen pass, and he's out.
Yeah.
He's just gone.
His instincts catch.
He's like, well, that blew up in my face.
That's hilarious. So here we got it going on right here. We'll watch it later. Can you bring up the card real quick?
The UFC 193.
So we're here, the big card, the big UFC 193 card in Australia.
Soccer
stadium. Oh, not doing well with Ari Shaffir. Comedy Central's Ari Shaffir not enjoying this. Tommy Toehold, is there excitement about this show, or is there not?
Well, I mean, it depends on who you're talking to. I think for a casual fan, there probably is. Ronda drew really big numbers on her last card, even though it was a card in Brazil that didn't really have a lot of big casual name fighters on it. So I would say a lot of casual fans are.
What's that, Ari?
Honestly,
jobbers.
The actual card itself is pretty entertaining, I think. But that's just me.
Really?
Yeah, we'll go through it. Let's go through it. There's some great fights on here. Oh wow, there are some great fights. We have let's go with Stephen Struve versus
Stefan Struve.
Stefan Struve.
No, let's him read them all.
Okay, cool.
They're all like Brazilian too. This will be a good one.
Versus Jared
Rochalt.
Rochalt. Is that it?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah,
bam!
You
got it. The weird thing about Stefan Struve is that, you know, he's so young, but it's like he's so he takes so much damage that even when he grows maybe into his prime, he's gonna probably have a dented chin by the time he gets there.
Yeah,
I don't know how much longer he's going to go beyond his early 30s. He's 27 right now, you're right. But he's already got over 30 fights in MMA, and he's been knocked out devastatingly a bunch of fucking times. Mark Hunt shattered his jaw, literally broke it into pieces. Yeah, this fight, I don't really know how Stefan Struve is going to do, honestly. He got his first win since 2012 against Big Nog, though. And that's not, you know, Big Nog is well on his way out.
He is Rosenthal, I think.
I think I actually read today he said he doesn't want to retire yet, which is
crazy.
But yeah, it is. But so you know, Struve hasn't really had that impressive of a run lately. Before that, he got knocked out twice in a row. Rosenthal is an All-American wrestler from OSU. He's on a 2-fight win streak, one that had a KO, so he's got some power. I think it's going to be kind of a letdown of a fight. I think Rosenthal's going to use his wrestling and just sort of stay on top of Struve the whole time, get a decision.
What is Rochal going to do during the fight about those bolts in the side of his neck? Jesus Christ, this guy looks like fucking Frankenstein. Look at how big his fucking head is.
Rochal also has one of the best MMA tattoos I've ever seen in my life. It looks like a big tear over his heart, and then underneath is the American flag.
Yeah, oh, that's pretty badass.
Did you see at the press conference when they were interviewing Rochal, and all he kept saying was, "Fire bad!"
So ridiculous. All right, let's move on to the next one. Uriah Hall versus Robert Whittaker.
Only fight I care about here. Only fight I care about.
Really?
Yes.
You don't like Hunt?
You don't like Hunt versus Silva?
What are you talking about? They have two combined wins since fucking 2.5 years.
Let's get into this fight before we start shitting on the other fights. Does Hall seem to have gotten it? Does he seem to have clicked into it? Or is it still hit or miss? Like two wins here, one loss there.
Well, I mean, he's. I would say he's on it. I mean, he got his biggest win against Gegard Mousasi. That's not an easy win. And he was really struggling in the first round, which is what everybody expected. I mean, Gegard was a big favorite. Then he came out in the second, threw some fucking crazy jumping back kick, flying knee, insanity shit, and killed him. I think there's always a chance of that, but I don't think Robert Whittaker is Gegard Mousasi. Now, Whittaker, he's won two of his last three with some really nasty KOs, but I think Hall, when he is on, and it seems like he's been on these last two times,
yeah,
he's unstoppable. I think he's gonna fucking murder him. Somebody is getting knocked out in a horrible, horrible way in that fight. That's definite for sure.
These kicks now are just getting in. It's becoming video games almost. I mean, even Belfort's kick on Henderson just caught him right in the skull. I mean,
yeah.
Boom! And that just lets you know how good of a skull Dan Henderson had, because he didn't just completely go limp. He still had his facility. So I'm going to go a Hall on that one, too, man. I'm going to go a Hall on two. So here's the one that Ari loves. We got Hunt versus Silva, which is two, like, really weird-looking guys.
Shouldn't be a main card. Should not be a main card.
Really?
They have name recognition.
I totally disagree.
They have name recognition.
I mean, you're throwing out guys who haven't been relevant in years.
I disagree. Silva, they both just fought for a title recently.
When, Sam?
Recently.
Yeah.
No, Hunt just fought. Who has the belt right now in the heavyweight division?
Yeah, it was an interim title, but he's won once since 2013.
Yeah, but he fights like these high-level guys. Look at who he's fought, dude. Who has he fought?
Junior Dos Santos. He lost. Antonio
Fabrico
Silva.
Rico
Drew. Roy Nelson. He won.
He fought Stefan Struve.
Yeah, none of those guys are like chumps, dude.
Fabricio Werdum. He lost.
That's a good... That guy's a champion.
Stipe Miocic.
Overeem.
That guy's good.
Sam, he's fucking... He's got three wins and one loss since May of 2013.
I don't think either one of these guys...
You're right. They both don't have a lot of wins right now. Mark Hunt's 41 years old. He's on his way out for sure.
For sure.
The thing is, this guy, you know, obviously been around for forever. He was in Pride. He's had some amazing fights. They're in Australia, so that's a big thing for him. He's a Kiwi. I'm sure it'll be a huge pop when he goes out there. The thing about this fight, though, is when these two guys fought before, it was fight of the year. Arguably best heavyweight fight of all time. It went to a draw. They beat the fucking shit out of each other. It was entertaining as hell, and that was in 2013. I don't think these guys have deteriorated that much since 2013 because they really weren't anywhere that high before that. You know what I mean? So, to me, I still think that this fight is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Now, in terms of relevancy, yeah, you're right. I mean, neither one of these guys are going to be winning the title anytime soon. But I think it's going to be just a fucking brutal three rounds. Well, it's only three rounds because it's not a main event. But it'll be three rounds, and it's going to be bloody as hell. And I think it'll be fun to watch.
I think they both have name recognition. I think that they have both been involved in some major, major fights throughout their careers and given us a lot of entertainment. And I think that, yeah, you're right. This guy is a local guy, at least in realms of part of the planet that he's at. And I think that this fight has a high potential of having some knockouts. It could end in an exciting way. I don't think either one of them is going to fight for a title. I don't think either one of them is going to string four wins together and then like, hey, look who's back, a 57-year-old. But I think the fight itself could be entertaining.
This is like if you have a comedy lineup and you get some guy like Sinbad on the lineup.
I was gonna say Yakov.
Yeah, sure. Yakov Smirnoff would be fine, too.
I think like, Sinbad still kills.
Shut
he
up.
He does.
Sinbad still kills.
Sam.
You put Sinbad in the lineup, he's going to light it up. Yakov Smirnoff, I haven't seen him lately.
I have.
Is he going to light it up?
He'll start
the point
fire.
Is, who cares about these guys? You're just putting them on the lineup to fucking sell tickets, but nobody really cares.
That's exactly what this is, Ari. Right. And he's a local guy. But that being said, it's a business move, not a fucking fight move. I don't think, tell me if this is what you're saying, Ari. For five fights of a pay-per-view event, this fight has no significance in the future of the UFC.
But I don't necessarily.
So it could be the main event of the undercard. But either if it's that or if it's in the five, I'm going to watch this fight, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be entertained. Now, it's not going to make a difference northwest, east, or south of what's going to be going on in the UFC in 2016.
Yeah, it was a good fight.
But it could be a good fight.
It was a good fight last time. It might be a good fight again, but Silva hasn't done shit. First round loss, draw, first round loss, first round loss.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get in a place where every fight has to have a title implications, and if it doesn't, then you're out of the UFC.
Card, if you're on a main card, you should be a fight that people, I guess, if you had Chuck Liddell versus Randy right now, I guess you'd put them on the main card, but like.
Well, we'll get into some of that, but I mean, like, this, the only way this is a bad thing, if they're both out of shape, they just chug along and they're just.
They'll fight.
Yeah.
They'll fight. They know this.
Mark Hunt could knock somebody out of nowhere. He just has that power.
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy, let's move on to the next one. And I want, do you, are you into Bellator at all, too? Tommy?
I watch it. Okay. Yeah.
We'll get into that card. I want to talk about this one, whether it's good or bad for MMA. Next up, Joanna Champion versus how do you say her last name?
Letourneau.
Yeah, Letourneau. I love Joanna Champion. I think as bad as Ronda Rousey makes other female fighters look, and I think she makes MMA look bad with how dominant she is. I think Joanna Champion is a phenomenal fighter. She's fun to watch. You know, it's really lightweight. Some people don't like to watch her. But this woman, she looks like a Velociraptor out there. And she just like pinpoint. Yeah, whatever, Raptor. Obviously, I'm not on point tonight.
Velociraptor.
That one
went right over my head. Here's why I don't like her. I don't trust a woman that has 11 letters in her last name and only two of them are vowels. She has like 8 Z's in her last name. That's a foreigner right there. That's somebody that should not be in the good old U.S. of A.
She's in Australia.
That's why they call her Joanna Champion, because everyone's like, and it's Joanna? Somebody give her a belt. Let's call her Joanna Champion, because I ain't fucking that shit up.
Ginger's chick.
Does
9 letters. That's
when you crazy. Pronounce her last name, people think you're having a stroke.
Yeah.
I hear that if you go in Vegas, if you got to bet like $450 to win 13.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a massacre. Joanna, minus one fight.
What is that?
That's Tyson.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Oh, Joanna Jędrzejczyk?
Listen one more time.
Okay. Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Joanna, it's not even Joanna.
I don't know about that one. Yeah, that first name pronunciation was wrong.
Jędrzejczyk.
It's kind of hot.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
When did Dracula start making pronunciation videos?
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
That's so creepy.
Yeah.
That's so creepy. Does this girl have any chance? They already fought before, right?
No, these two haven't fought, but it doesn't really look like it. I mean, a minus one fight with Claudia Gadella, Joanna Champion's not really looked like she's going to be being beat by anybody in that division.
Definitely
she's pretty
not
much
this
running
girl.
Through the entire top of it.
Definitely not this girl. Three fights in the
UFC.
And
they're lesser competition. Yeah, exactly. You know, and all three of her last fights went to a decision.
Yeah.
If she's going to try to take Joanna to a decision, she's just going to get lit up. I mean, her striking is so much above the rest of that division. It's going to be really bloody. I think it's going to end in the first round. She's going to hit her in the face like 1,000 times.
This, to me, is a classic example of what Ari was just talking about, much more so than Bigfoot versus Hunt. Why are you making me, as a fan, pay-per-view fan, pay money for this, and you give me that the co-fucking main event is somebody that's a 600-1 fucking underdog, and it's going to be over in guaranteed 30 seconds. If there's nobody that can compete with her, throw her on the fucking undercard and give me something I want to pay my money to see.
Yeah, she's a champion.
But how about a champion fighter
on the undercard?
Wow. Not undercard, but maybe not the fucking...
Mark my words. The numbers on this pay-per-view are awful.
No, I think...
Girls will get it. I think stupid idiot women will get it.
I think it will do fine. I think do you think this 12-page gauge has any chance against Joanna Champion?
Nothing that I've seen from her would indicate that she does. You look at like Holly Holm, and at least she's knocked out like 18 people in her life. So there's always, you know, that puncher's chance. But in this fight, there's nothing I really see that would indicate that she has any chance against Joanna. But I mean, I could be wrong, and everybody could be wrong, but I doubt it. I would be really shocked.
Here's the problem with women's MMA. You have a couple people who got into it that are killers, and the rest are girls. And I don't mean that in a sex way, but it's really like you're just watching girls fight. You're not watching – I mean, some of these girls is just like – what did you just come off a Tai Bo class? What, like, how are you in this? I mean, they did something on Bellator where the girl, it was her first professional fight. She was 0-0 fighting on national television. I think it does a really bad service. I think in 10 years or even in 5 years, female MMA will be so much better.
Yeah, dude, that, you know what you do shit. Now? You give it away.
This
you
is
give
same
it away.
Shit as females in comedy.
You don't make the fans have to pay money because for a product
dude,
that isn't ready yet.
In this society, you will never have that happen, dude. Women will not ever let that happen.
It's the same.
Well, another thing about MMA in general is that it's always been a sport where it didn't take too many wins to get to the big show. I mean, obviously, yes, you have to pay your dues, get to the professional level. But, you look at a guy like Conor McGregor who... Yeah. Doesn't have 40, 50 fights. Like, this isn't like boxing where you fight 46 times before people have heard who you are.
Yeah.
So with that already in place for the sport, and then you add in sort of like the newness of the acceleration that women are going in the sport, you end up getting what we have right now, where you've got these two chicks who are just fucking destroying everybody.
Everybody.
It's accelerated.
It's going to be hard to find real good competition for them.
And it's accelerated at a much faster rate than people thought. At this point in time, even from when we started this podcast, 4 years ago, back then we were literally like, this will never, ever take off. Like, no one's going to give a shit. It's never going to get to a level where it's really competitive. And just in the small amount of time we've been doing this podcast, it's gotten competitive. My argument is it's not at the point yet.
It's gotten popular.
But before there was one division, Ronda Rousey, and she had nobody to fight. Now there's a few other divisions, and there's some people where you're like, hey, I'd like to see Ronda Rousey fight this chick. We knew one name in female MMA 4 years ago. We knew one name.
No, and we had Gina Carano. But I know what you're saying. It has got much bigger, and that's just I did Kill Tony last night, and this one chick was just like, "Wow, the girls are taking a beating." Well, the girls had all been doing comedy for 3 months. Some of the guys have been doing it for 6 months, and they're way more polished.
Yeah, they always want to make it exist in a vacuum where it's like, "How come you hate girls and not boys?" It's because you hate girls. Like, or why don't you look deeper? and find that out.
Yeah, and it's just like women want to complain that, oh, there's no opportunity. And Tommy's like, what did I walk into? But it's like the truth is it's just like there's great opportunity right now. The fact that marketers and sponsors care about the female dollar, that's why they push females to the front. It's just the fact. It's like, why is a six-year vet comic doing Kill Tony, and why is the girls doing it only at 3 months? Because the girls would have been doing it for 6 months. They're on the road, and they're doing television. It's just the way.
And Red Band and Tony want to bone whoever it is. So they're like, oh, you've never done comedy? Why don't you do every single week on this show?
Oh, dude, there was a classic moat.
And then, we found out you're dating somebody else. You're off the show now.
Yeah. So let's get back into it. I think I like her a lot. I think it's going to be – I like watching her fights. There's a lot of violence in there, and I think that's great. Now let's get into the main event, Tommy. Ronda versus Holmes.
She should not be getting a title shot.
Not be getting a title shot. Well, the problem is she's ran through everybody, and I think – that the UFC goes, hey, man, who there's got to be somebody around here this is one boxer, and she's, like, undefeated, and she's knocked a lot of people out.
And she has, like, championship boxing.
Yeah, of course.
Boxing,
and they're like, all right,
boxing. How is she done in the UFC?
They're like, all right, let's get her a yellow belt in the next fucking 4 months, and let's get her two tune-up fights, and then let's get her a title shot.
Split decision, decision. Now title fight? Fuck you.
I wanted to see Misha again. I thought Misha was the right choice for where she's been.
Yeah, everyone got bored of that
right now.
You're right. That.
Yeah, it's like that's the thing. It's like, what do you do? So Misha's honestly the person that should be, you know, in that spot. But then she's already lost to Ronda twice. With Holly, she was one of those like sort of hardcore MMA underground. Everybody's like, oh yeah, one day Holly Holmes, she's gonna fucking knock Ronda Rousey out. Like it was like sort of this thing. She was in Legacy and she was fucking head kicking people, all this other shit. So that sort of got her where she ended up, and then she's won a couple fights at UFC. I agree. I don't think she's ready for this fight in particular. I don't think she's going to win. I mean, now there's nothing I'm going to say here that's anywhere remotely that's going to say Ronda Rousey loses.
The only chance this chick really has is if Ronda's ego is so big,
which has never happened,
that she is going to not want to take this chick to the ground and get into a slugfest. Because, I mean, granted, she's not the best fighter in the world, but she has boxed.
And it happened in her last fight when she couldn't take somebody down. She goes, fine, now I'll fight. There's no chance of even that happening. Ronda Rousey's ego is not crazy. The real thing is this. They should not have invited UFC into women into the UFC until there's a competitive balance in the division. And there's not. There's one fighter in each weight class, and that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, there is something to that. I think there are girls who are excited. And the problem is when they show any kind of any chance in the future of beating them, they throw her in real quick. So they clip her and it's over.
Instead of letting them build up like they did John Jones, let them get a lot of fights in and then we'll fight them for a title.
Because at the end of the day, the UFC, without a doubt, does not want Ronda Rousey to ever lose. She gets
I also think They're also trying to get as much as they can out of her because they don't know how much longer she's going to stay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because to me, it sounds like she really wants to move into other stuff. And whether that ends up, you know, working out or whatever, it does sound like she's not going to be fighting that much longer. So I feel like they're trying to get every single possible title fight they can in there. You know, even if, like you said, with Holly Holm. Yeah, she does train out of arguably the best gym in the world, Jackson Winklejohn. She trains with some really high-level people. She does have... You know,
she trains at Jack Jingleheimer Smith. His name is my
does.
Name
she,
too.
She trains at the same gym as John Jones.
Yeah.
You know, she's got 6 of her 9 wins have come via KO, TKO. Obviously, not high level opponents. So, you know, she could be a contender potentially. But yeah, I think they're just trying to get all these sort of names on the list, go against Ronda, and then see if they can get her in as many title fights as they can before she decides to walk away from the sport.
I think that Ronda Rousey. Think that if she blows through Holmes, which is definitely possible, I think it's going to last a little longer than people think. I don't know why. I just have this feeling that the cries for Cyborg are going to get so loud. And I think Ronda is like, there's a lot, you know, her dating Travis Browne is like I think it's going to blow up in her face a little bit because she was so on Floyd Mayweather about domestic violence. And now she's after. And I don't know the whole story about Travis Brown.
Travis Brown.
Well, you know, he's supposedly, and it's supposedly, he got in trouble in the UFC and because he supposedly smacked his wife around. And
I think she's just working on her chin.
Did she really get on Floyd Mayweather and now she's dating someone who had the same problem?
And Brandon Schaub called her out on it, you know, and it's just like, I mean, little things like that.
What a fucking hypocrite. I hate that shit so much. Like, oh, there's this famous person I can go after, and then I'll actually date someone who's done the exact same thing.
There is a hypocrisy, but the machine is so big that they're going to like go until. I think if Ronda Rousey walking away from MMA will be a real. I think it's not a smart move, and I know she thinks it is, and I can't. I've never even
it's
been
for her life. It's well, for her life. She can do whatever she wants. But like the thing is, if she does leave, then you just have this fucking paper tight left. This fucking division in the UFC that no one gives any fuck about, and you'll have some champion who has fought four times.
Yeah,
it'll just be so fucking lame. And here's the deal, guys. I'm done talking about Ronda Rousey. I'm done. I told you, until she's lost a round, let's just never talk about her again.
Okay, so we're banning her from the show?
It's just pointless. It's stupid.
Okay, all right. I want to get into this Bellator thing.
She has no competition. What are we talking about?
I want to get into this Bellator thing, Tommy, before we let you go.
Sure, yeah.
They call it their Tet event, which is their big event. They do it probably every 3 months where they put out a really big event. And this one has... it has Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000, and then it also has Ken Shamrock versus Royce Gracie.
Ugh.
Is this good for Bellator?
No. To me, these are, I mean, look, I like Scott Coker a lot, and I think he's smart, and I think he does a good job with what he does, and I get what he's doing. You know, he's trying to compete, but the thing is, this isn't going to make Bellator a big competition against the UFC. It's just not. You know, you look at these cards, they do this, where they do these circus fights, and they end up getting pretty good numbers. I think the last time they had, when Kimbo fought Shamrock, which was ridiculous, that card did really, really big numbers.
Really
the thing
big.
Is, though, the rest of their cards don't. When they've got their actual homegrown talent, who, honestly, some of their top guys are really good.
Yeah.
Nobody watches those fucking cards. Those cards don't do well. So they can do these crazy-ass stunt tentpole things that they like to do. I don't think it's really going to make much difference for Bellator in the future. It's not going to get them in a spot where they're suddenly competing against the UFC. It's just not.
Yeah, well, was that ever an option? Do you think there was ever going to be that world where we have Bellator banging with the UFC?
Not right now. Not absolutely not. I think you could have a strong number two, but it's always going to be way, way behind.
It's always going to be a farm system. To me, it's always going to be a farm system.
Right. You just got to pick their talent up.
Like, they're going to be good enough. Like, anybody from Bellator eventually is going to get good enough at Bellator that they're going to go, I got to jump to the real shit. Yeah. I got to go to the UFC right now because that's where the real competition is. I've cleaned this place out. You don't see a lot of people in the UFC go, hey, I'm Ronda Rousey. I've beaten everybody at UFC. I want to go over to Bellator and win that
belt.
Well,
you had Phil Davis.
Yeah, but that's when those people get older and they're like, you know, I'm not going to win a belt at the UFC. I've done as good as I can do here, but maybe I can go down to Bellator and run the show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I feel for Ken Shamrock. Like, you want a guy to be able to make money, but man, I mean, it's just. I mean, the Dada 5000 versus Kimbo Slice is an interesting fight because those guys don't like each other.
Throw that fight on World Star Hip Hop, and I'll watch it on the fucking internet.
All right, Tommy, thanks for calling in. It was a chaotic segment. We loved it. You were great. You're always a pleasure. What do you got? Anything you want to promote, real quick?
Nope. Tommy Toehold on YouTube. Tommy Toehold on Twitter too. There you go.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. We love you calling in. We'll have you on the next card. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care, buddy. Bye. Tommy.
I like when Sam runs down his like breakdown of a person, and he just gets this like fake sound.
The radio's. I call it Radio Sam.
Yeah, it's like you don't even know what he's saying. He's like, chaotic segment. Thank you for all the. It's just like crazy. Yeah.
Well, it was a weird segment. It was a weird segment. I'm going to be honest with you. You, Ari just didn't care. Tebow's yelling. I'm fucking up names. It was just like, it was just a weird segment.
I didn't think it was weird.
That's my opinion.
I didn't think it was weird.
That's all. You didn't seem, you seem very disinterested in the whole thing, Ari.
Well, I think Ari just doesn't, I mean, Ari's consistent. He doesn't like women's MMA because it's not because it's women, because it's not competitive.
I realize it's garbage and it's like, I don't want to talk. It's just boring. So boring to me.
Yeah, I gotcha, but it is a sports podcast.
I know, we should talk about sports. What turn your video on.
Turn our video on?
Oh, I always forget that it does that to you.
There we go.
Yeah, we should talk about fucking actual competitive sports.
I mean, I agree with you, and I know you clearly disagree with me, that this card, there's not a fight on here where I'm like, man, I got to see that. I'm dying to know how this is going to turn out.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, a lot of these are overwhelming favorites, and I get that they're title holders, and I get that they have to defend their title, but it's like, man, to me, this is a really good Fox Sports 1 or a Fight Night or Fox card than it is, hey, pay $71 and watch the Globetrotters play the fucking Washington Generals.
Yeah, and they say they're going to break attendance records, and it's like, that's just sort of sad. It's just like that's what ESPN is doing. It's like we can get more ratings if we include these people. And it's like, yeah, but the sports suffers.
And look, man, when it comes to Rousey fighting, she's a very captivating, athletic person, and she is very fun to watch. And I'm definitely going to watch this fight somewhere. But nobody expects this to be any upset.
You know, you've heard it over and over again, like matchups make fights. But it's like these two fights, there's no matchup. It's just showcasing a person.
I think the first two fights are the ones that are probably the most competitive, and they're the least, the lower names on the marquee.
The Mark Hunt fight will be like, that was a really good fight. So it'll be nice.
Uriah Hall will be a good fight. He's exciting.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. He's not really fighting someone who's, like, really in his class either, but yeah.
But I think, like, the three main fights in this are all fights that you're like, hey, man, if neither one of these two had a belt, that would be, like, an easy number two fight on an undercard.
The truth is that the UFC has grown so big, and they want so much money that they're spreading their talent across a bunch of cards instead of doing what they used to do, which throw a bunch of talent on the one card for the pay-per-views. Now they got to do the Fox Sports and the Fox Sports Ones and all that.
No, stuff. Look at the next fight. It's great. Aldo McGregor, Weidman versus Rockhold.
Mm-hmm.
You're already great right
there. December?
That fight.
Stevens.
Yeah, I think that's December, right?
Yeah, it's December. I'm taking off comedy for that.
I think that fight is, absolutely. That's a fight that you're like for a week, for a longer than a week or something like that. You're like, hey, what's wrong? What's up?
Can you still see us? Sorry. Okay. Yeah, go on. Right.
It doesn't matter. What's up? You're on Punch Drunk.
Hey, I'm talking about Polites. I used to have a fucking Polite neighbor when I was in fucking middle school. I don't even know what they looked like. My family acted like it was a goddamn Adams family or something. I was kind of scared to even go over and knock on their goddamn door. But let's talk about this fucking cunt. I don't want to and give her no more talking, but let's just talk about this fucking cunt that's fighting this weekend, because goddamn, I'm just as furious as my cousin is about this goddamn shit getting as much fucking publicity.
Which one are you talking about? Because there's four cunts fighting this weekend.
Oh, I'm talking about the cunt with the linebacker back. That fucking bitch is hating on Lube and all this. I'll tell you what, if this bitch thinks she's so bad.
Yeah, Lube. What was that about, by the way?
Well, she's trying to say if you got to use lube, your man ain't doing the work. Well, we'll put it like this. Let's take her and Gianna Michaels and see who the real hardcore bitch is.
This guy, how much porn do you watch a week? You might be the only person I know that watches more porn than Sam Tripoli with an 8-ball in his pocket.
Well, weirdly, now I'm having to pack it up in little spurts because I'm going through some shit. Y'all probably don't believe I'm going through some shit. And hell, just a shout out to Frankie. I ain't played that Lowrider DLC on Grand Theft Auto. Hell, I've been on some other shit. But Hey, boy, you keep on doing that shit, because I know you're probably doing that, man.
Great point.
Solid point.
Anyways, I guess y'all don't play video games. That bomb like us. Y'all just bomb like a motherfucker. I'm sorry about that.
All right, man. All right.
Kate, we're going at the same time. You know what this is. Hello, you're on the air with Punch Drunk.
I'll tell you what, man. The C stands for cunt. UFC cunt.
Who is this? Who do we have here? Who is this?
It's my fucking compadre.
Cunt, man. She's got a linebacker back. I'll tell you what, Ari.
Wait, which one's which?
It's nice to meet you again, man. I've been trying to find your number on yellowpages.com and shit, but hell, I looked up Spindle. You know, in North Carolina, I couldn't find goddamn Spindle.
You just got to dial your own number, man. It's not going to give you a busy signal. You're going to get me.
Am I really this high?
So wait, tried to look up your own self in the Yellow Pages, and then when you called, you got a busy signal?
If y'all keep telling me this, boys, I'm going to have to let y'all go and just get my composure back. I'm going to have to call y'all back.
No, stay composed, man. We need to talk about this. Cunt's got a linebacker back. We've got to talk about the Panthers, man. They're real deal. Yeah, all right, boy. They're talking about the Panthers. Let's talk about my buddy Larry holding up his Packers sign and this goddamn shit about, you know, them tearing Larry's sign down. I mean, I don't know what the real story is in the news, but I'm going to tell y'all one thing about Larry. He's from North Carolina. He's a big cheesehead.
Larry's misunderstood, man, but the Third Amendment says you can hold up a damn sign at a game without it being torn down.
That's
what I'm saying. I wanted to be there, but this tire, you know, we're good at tire something. My income right now, boy, I just can't afford to get me no hell. Even the up box seats, they're like goddamn $47 a ticket, man. I'll tell you what, boy,
when a team gets good, the tickets go up, and you can't, how hard do they see a game there?
Now, do both of you work at a tire shop?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about him, but, boy, I've been a tire professional for about 17 years. A
tire professional?
You got me by two. I've been 15 years, man.
Well, yeah, he's probably a little bit more of an expert than Jeb is a little bit more of an expert than Jeb.
Yeah, man, I think he knows a little bit more about, the struts, the axles than me, but I ain't so bad myself.
Well, back in the muscle car, I'm trying to talk about this fucking cut, though. Let's don't get off track like I usually do, because I got that
I'm sorry for sidetracking you. It's the left side of your brain. Let's keep on the right.
I hardly ever use it. That's what I go to a therapist for, and, you know, he just politely tells me, you know, like, hey, man, you're fucking right side of your brain, buddy. I don't know what's up with that shit, buddy. You might just want to go ahead and give up on it. But I keep positive. Let's talk about this fucking linebacker, though.
I love that. I keep positive.
I had a fucking heart attack in the ring this weekend, and I would probably just blow everywhere in my pants. Like, I'm dead fucking serious. That's how red state I am about the goddamn shit.
Hey, don't bring me into this. I like to keep positive. Let's talk about this linebacker cunt. I heard Ari's toilet seat go down. That can only mean
one
thing.
Are you pooping or peeing?
Pooping.
Oh, God, life?
Wait, you tuck? He's got to blow it out.
All right, you normally sit down to pee? Is that a move of yours that Sam knows about that I need to be worried about here?
Are you saying it's out of the
No, I would not. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But if it's true, I want to know why.
No, that is an insult in German, by the way. Instead of calling people gay because they're more progressive than we are, they call people sit pissers.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a sit pisser. You're a sit pisser.
It's more comfortable, really.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Oh, God.
Got a long situation.
Oh, God. So, what other porn stars do you like? Oh, Jeb One?
Well, if you want me to just make a top five that's got me through the past 8 years, hell, I can just knock them off top five.
How about the top five
right
that
now?
Got you through this morning?
hell, this morning, hell, surprisingly, I ain't busted through one today, boys, but you know. I can't believe it either. Now, yesterday it happened to be old Destiny DeVille, so I've been hung up on her here lately. And, hell, her, Sophie D, you know, she might come 1 year and go the other year, but that bitch always, you know, she stays around, just like Kelly. But, just like Sam said, though, I mean, I didn't really think about it how nasty Kelly was. I mean, sometimes you can't even, you know, see the bitch's face, and she looks like she's got saran wrap on it because she's got so much cum and shit on it.
So,
but man, I kind of like that, man. She's willing to get down and party.
Good point, Jeb.
Jeb, too. That was a very good point.
That's a great point.
She's down to party just like it. Did y'all hear about this? What's up with this bitch, you know, getting supposed to tit implants, and she gets $250,000 worth of cocaine put in her titties, and the bitch gets caught with it in the airport.
Oh, you didn't hear about
good
that.
Good topical story, man. Save that for the monologue.
I'm
just hiding, you know, this ADHD boy is just fucking with me. This is a shout out to Tebow, shout out to Tripoli, shout out to, well, hell, I guess I might as well say Ari because he's been pretty positive here lately about Brody. I can't believe it, man. And shout out to old Frankie, and I can't remember the other one. But
what about me? Aaron. What about a
yes,
shot?
What about your cousin?
What about you? Shout out to you, yeah, W. Man.
Obviously, shout out. I mean, I about said Ari. Goddamn, shout out Jeb. And I want to clear up something. I am no way affiliated with that goddamn political figure that they call Jeb either. This has nothing to do with that goddamn shit.
Oh yeah, dude, I was really wondering.
What do you think about Asia Akira, man? Oh man, hey, and more. Hey, I really do like foreign girls. I really got a thing for them, and brunettes too.
Man, it's like you misunderstand them, and you think they kind of smell, but you do want to fuck them, right?
I mean, I'm serious. Like that bitch could pull off her panties, and she could, you know, have some little cream pie left over in her panties. I'd be like, hey, baby, we need to go. You need to go in there and wash that shit out, and you know. Might give it an hour, but hell, we'll go back at it. That's, you know, hell, I'm talking about average porn star. Hell, I'm not picky. Shit.
If anyone of our...
Sasha Gray, man? Oh, damn, don't even talk about Sasha Gray. I got like a, it's like a teenage heartthrob kind of crush for that bitch.
Oh, man, I knew it. That's why I brought it up.
That's a bitch right there. You put some blue jeans and a good top on her, take her out in public, bitch. Think that bitch is like a Russian model or something, man. You goddamn... That fucking fair skin. She looks like that Paige girl on that WWE wrestling kind of.
If any one of our callers and listeners has a woman's human head in their refrigerator, it's Jeb One.
Yeah, I think so. I'd agree with that.
It's like a fleshlight, but it used to be able to talk.
You know, boys, believe it or not, I've never had a fleshlight.
Man, what a disappointment, man. Want me to send you one?
I've had a real flesh a lot.
All right, get rid of him. We're good. We're good now.
That was so much fun. So much fun. Oh, couldn't stop laughing.
I like when he just starts right out. You're just like, hey, you're on the other punch chunk. Yesterday I was eating pudding with a fork. And you're like, well, okay, all right, here we go.
Oh, man, that was fun. Let's get into this Greg Hardy thing.
It's hilarious to me.
All right, let's hear it.
It's hilarious to me because... I just like how fickle people are. And it's funny that it's like pretty similar to the Ray Rice thing, but nobody's really getting behind it.
They're trying, dude.
They're trying.
CNN and ESPN, they are trying to get sponsors to leave the Dallas Cowboys.
But the story's not catching because I think here's why. One, people already got done with it for Ray Rice. Two, it's like, yeah, he's already served his time for this. Plus, the Cowboys are being real smart about it. They're not going like we defend. They're just going, yeah, this guy, this young man, has moved on. He's trying to better his life, and we're about giving him a second chance, and we're going to give him that second chance. He's served his time. He did his punishment. You guys want to punish him forever, and we're not willing to get behind that.
That's a really good point, Ari. I hadn't thought about that because he did serve his time for this. He financially as well as career-wise, and he's been taking a beating forever. So now you bring the pictures out. Had these pictures come out a week after that they're like, hey, this allegedly happened.
Yeah.
Before I think the punishment would have been more severe, and people would have been less likely to take him on. It's like right now, people are like, hey, here's a picture of a dead dog that Michael Vick killed. People are like, yeah, man, we've been through this. We know. He went to jail.
Exactly.
He did it. It's over.
And Vic had the same thing when he signed with the team. People were like, how can you support that? It's like, he did 2 years in prison, guys.
Yeah.
He did his punishment.
Why do you
want to be the one punishing him further?
Yeah.
Just one dog.
Yeah, just one dog. There was a lot there. But the thing is, like, I love how people needed pictures. When they go, it's one of the worst cases of domestic abuse we've ever seen. And then the people are like, oh my God. And then they see the picture like, oh no, I'm really angry. What do you think was going to happen?
Also, it's not nearly one of the worst.
That's just what they said.
I mean, I've seen some pretty bad domestic abuse.
Oh yeah, that fucking, what's the UFC
guy? Well, the worst is Ray Kruth.
No, well, War Machine.
Ray Kruth killed.
War Machine was pretty bad.
Ray Kruth killed the chick.
Yeah. Well, War Machine is what I was thinking of.
I know, but I mean,
if those pictures were War Machine's pictures, where you're like, God damn, broken ribs, punctured lung, two black eyes, a broken nose, chipped her teeth. You're like, God,
you know
damn,
how hot she was.
Yeah, that's domestic abuse, but you know, homeboy killed her, so that's murder. Like,
so it's no longer domestic abuse.
We just mean like,
I think it's two different things.
The brutality of the pictures. This wasn't, I mean, it was bad for sure, but it looked like somebody got beat up a little. Not crazy. But here's the real thing. I figured this out with Kramer, when Kramer had his problem, and then Mel Gibson had a problem pretty soon after that. If you've already shooting your next thing, nobody wants to lose the money.
Yeah.
So if you're already on something, like when Mencia stuff happened, they had already shot season two. So they're like, we're not canceling this now. But if it was when they just finished shooting season one or airing season one, they could be like, oh, hold on, let's rethink this.
Let's not invest more into a nightmare. But their money's already been spent.
Yeah, Kramer didn't have a job. So nobody wants to give Kramer the fucking nigger dropper.
What?
Dropping the N-bomb.
Yep.
His first gig. Right. Same thing with Ray Rice. But now Hardy, he's already got it. Now it's so bad, it's like, he's already working again. Nobody cares.
But here's the problem, man. The problem is ultimately, and you can go back and forth about, should there be pictures, shouldn't there be pictures? Did it happen, didn't it happen? And he said, she said. The bottom fucking line is, there is a fucking epidemic in the NFL and in all these contact sports where grown men that are 280 pounds, dude, True. If I beat the shit out of my girlfriend, it'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Yeah. These guys are 280 pounds, and they are beating women the fuck up.
Yeah, that's a problem.
No matter what, that's a fucking problem. If they beat a man up at an Arby's the way they're beating these women up, they would get arrested, and it's a fucking problem. And the NFL has to do something about it. And how you do it is you do what you do to Ray Rice. You go, you're gone, and you ain't coming back.
No, I disagree.
It's got to be a really hard fucking statement.
Dude, I don't think you should ever hit anybody. Honestly, you shouldn't hit people. But I never want to get into this. You make a mistake once, you're fucking gone. And even with this, it is trash, and you should never do it. Don't hit women. Women shouldn't hit men. But the notion, I fucked up so many times in my life. If people, and sometimes I think they have done this, but if there's just like one fuck up and you're done, I'm like, oh my God.
I'm not saying one fuck up and you're done. I'm saying the NFL as a corporation needs to go, because the thing is,
here's the steps they've taken. Anything off the field that they don't find proper, you're banned. You're banned for any sort of behavior that's not nothing. And for me, for a fan, unless it affects the game of football, I don't think they should get involved at all. I think it has nothing to do with them and let the legal situation figure itself out.
That's crazy. I mean, I'll tell you why.
Deal with violence.
Because we're not talking about a sport. We're not talking about the sport of football. We are talking about the business of the NFL and how much they want women's money and how much they want children to grow up and thinking the NFL is the gold standard instead of the NFL is turning into some drug doing. Everyone's doing coke. It's okay to hit a woman, and you want it to trickle down into the college culture, where you get these 20-year-olds that aren't entitled to be like, hey, man, I'm the best quarterback at Florida State. I can steal a laptop. I can slap a bitch in a fucking thing, and I'm untouchable. And I'm going to be a millionaire in fucking 14 months.
What?
They're treated in high school and college as superstars.
It's the trickle down. It's the trickle down to that.
Did you see Greg Hardy's tweets after the pictures came out?
They apologized?
Yeah. He was like, yeah, I apologize, trying to move on with my life. Yep. He writes like he has a third grade education.
Because he does.
Yeah.
Have you ever
heard
him talk?
And now we're trying to hold him up to be like, you should be a man. It's like, this guy is a fucking...
But you know what, Ari? There's a shitload of men with third grade educations that are men.
Yeah, that's true.
There are a shitload of people that weren't afforded the luxury or didn't pay attention in school.
Oh, come on,
that don't
Ari.
Give a fuck. So you don't have to be a fucking rocket scientist to be respectful to women.
That's true. I just don't think the NFL should get involved. But here's the deal. They are getting involved.
It's their money that they're paying.
Is he wiping?
These
It's four games. It's four games. They ban him for.
I love
four
how you're looking. Spare.
Yep, exactly. So, and if it happens again at the year. Yeah.
First offense. And guess what? He hasn't had another offense.
So
it's worked.
Is that how you normally wipe standing so up?
So
yeah.
far.
Yeah, you have really? To. Wait, who sits down and wipes?
I sit down and wipe.
70% of the world?
Yeah.
How do you make sure you get it all?
Well, I mean, yeah. I look.
I got a buddy that's laying on his back right next to the toilet.
Oh, nice.
So this is, so I here's a stat that we found on.
It's worked. He hasn't done anything else. So now we're saying, okay, this punishment that's working, has shown that it's worked, not good enough.
Well, you know, you're talking about a guy who's eight games into a season where four of them he was suspended. So it hasn't worked in 8 weeks. It's worked for 8 weeks.
All right.
You know what I mean? I mean, look at Josh Gordon for Cleveland. It's like, hey, man, he missed four games for getting busted for pot and everything else. You know, 6 games in, you can be like, it totally worked. And then, you know, in the offseason, he gets busted again. And four or five times, this guy's gotten busted for drugs.
And the punishments get worse the more times
exactly.
you do something.
I'm not saying if you do one thing wrong, you should be fucking out forever. I'm saying if you do this, it's exactly what they've said. You get a 4-game suspension. But if you do it again... And I'm not talking about drugs. I'm not talking about pot. I'm not talking about performance-enhancing drugs. I'm talking about violence against women.
It's just be violence.
The guy just walks up and clubs somebody for no fucking reason?
That's not happening. When does that happen?
It does happen.
I mean, one instance in the NFL where a guy just walked down the street and just punches the mailman.
Oh, I mean, like they're at a bar or something.
Yeah, I mean, like when Barkley punched a guy or when Scottie Pippen punched a dude, it's sure. like you shouldn't punch people.
Agreed.
This type of violence is abhorrent. It's
so you're talking about
violence.
Two things that happen in 20 years versus something that happens 5 times a year now. This is something that's happening more and more and more and more.
Oh, yeah. I for sure say the NFL should do something. Like, this is who you guys have.
You need to send a message.
Yeah, they're like employees.
I don't think it's a punishment thing. I think that you gotta sit everybody down.
You gotta
really talk to them.
You gotta let these high school players. What's wrong, Sam?
Nothing. Go on.
You gotta let these high school players right now see somebody get busted in a major way and go, "Fuck, man. I don't want that to happen to me. I got all this potential and all this talent."
Ray Rice.
Exactly.
I think the biggest problem with Greg Hardy that I have is like, God help us when that guy's no longer playing football. I mean, something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, because he has an outlet for that fucking...
He's going to fucking... I mean, like, dude, if anybody is listening to this, just when Greg Hardy's out of football, I don't care how much money and influence this guy has, do not be friends with this dude, because it has all the writing, and I'm not lying to you, a fucking murder, dude. Of a dude who's got a lot of trauma on his head and anger issues and is a humongous guy and just seems to take offense to a lot of shit. And, you know, I think something really bad is going to happen. And I also want to say something, dude.
I think you're reading into him. I think he's just had one thing that real and everything else people are like, see? And it's like, nah.
I don't know, dude. There's just something about this guy that just has a vibe of this is not going to be good. And when it's over, when he's done playing. I also have to say something like, I really, listen, you should never hit anybody, and in particular, we're talking about women, you should never hit women, it's never a right thing to do, I mean, unless you're really defending yourself, you know what I'm saying, like, I've heard stories of women coming at guys with knives, you got to fight, hold on,
sure,
but I just want to say something, we really need to start talking to our daughters about dating bad boys.
Yep.
And that your love is not going to change these broken toys. That they're only going to change when they want to change yourself. And dating a knucklehead who has a violent past, who has done something violent to you, and staying in it because he's got a lot of money or you think your love can change him, isn't a good idea. Listen, a woman, there's never a reason to hit a woman. But man, you've got to really stop dating these fucking scumbags.
True.
You know, and then you play the victim role. It's like, you think this guy just became a violent, crazy person the minute you started dating? You knew this shit.
Yeah,
you
I'm
knew
with
this
you,
shit.
Dude.
And I agree with Sam about Hardy, and Ari and I had an argument about this where I go, hey, did you see him fucking get into it with Dez? And did you see him get into it with, hey, you're on the air with Punch Drunk. What's up?
You can keep going.
Hey, so, guys, you know, I didn't want to talk sports. I just want to thank you guys for, you know, getting me through work days A lot of bad stuff has been happening to me. Not bad stuff, just like life in general. You know, I'm 26 years old, and the doctor told me yesterday that, you know, I need to do something for my heart. I'm wearing a heart monitor right now. Wow. And family and stuff like that. But guys like, you know, like Sam and Ari and Teeb and Tate and, you know, your guys' whole extended family is like, listening to you guys is like 2 hours that no matter what's going on, I can just laugh my ass off and talk, like, you know, think about sports and,
hey, that's cool.
And just, you know, kind of just get out of here. And, you know, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you guys for just being cool.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you guys for having a good show.
Thanks, brother. What's wrong with your heart?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure yet. I mean, I put on some weight in the past couple of years. I used to do like martial, like mixed martial arts and stuff like that, but I fell off and had a kid, got married and stuff like that, and then, like, you know, the weight comes on, and now I have a job where, you know, I'm working in the medical field, like I'm pulling 12, 14 hour days sometimes. Oh. And it's just like, you know, I'm driving all the time, just fast food and stuff like that, and after a while it just starts to catch up.
Yeah.
You know, I have it in my family. Like, my mom's 50. They just put a stent in her heart. Oof. You know, she was close to having a heart attack. And it's like, you know, it's everywhere in my family. So they're like, doctors, like, we got to, you know, nip this in the bud. Yeah. You know, he's going to put me through all these tests and stuff like that. But just, you know,
I just want to
let you guys know that you guys are awesome.
Okay, thanks.
Go, Ari.
I just want to know if maybe he thought maybe sucking our dicks could help with this.
That's
problem.
A good question. Would blowing
I think
us-
it would. I mean, Dean, you know, with Teeb, that was, I'm just going to out myself. I don't give a fuck. That was me. I called in last week as Jorge, and I was just
that was
to
funny.
Say some fucked up shit to you guys.
Now let
and,
me ask,
just mess with you guys a little bit.
Now, do you listen? You listen every week, or you listen to the show a lot?
Yeah, I have been listening.
Since you have a bad heart, should we like be a little less funny? So I don't want to be responsible for giving this guy a heart attack.
No. Like that's when I can chill and relax. Like I'm in surgery all the time. It's like high drama, like, all the time. Like, everything's very serious. And in between, like, I can listen like 15, 20 minutes at a time. So it's like between surgeries and stuff like that, like, I can just put my headphones in, find a quiet corner and just laugh by myself, you know?
And, That's awesome, dude.
You know, like, once again, you guys are awesome. Yes, Ari. Also, Ari, I'm a Cowboys fan, by the way.
Oh, so, terrible. Well, at least we're done for the season, so we can just start concentrating on next year and have a good fun time this winter.
Who would you like them to draft, dude? Who would you like them to draft?
Fucking, dude.
There we go.
I mean, he may not have a heart attack this year, but as a Cowboys fan, he's going to be heartbroken.
Yeah.
All right, let me just finish off what I was telling you before. When Greg Hardy got into a shoving match with Dez Bryant.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
They said Greg Hardy's starting stuff. They didn't say Greg Hardy and Dez Bryant went at it.
No.
Just blaming Greg Hardy. 3 years ago, everybody would be like, look at Dez Bryant, what a head case.
No. Why they were saying that is because Hardy was getting into it with his position coach, and the position coach was yelling at him, and he slapped the clipboard out of his hand and then kind of put his hands on the coach. And then Dez comes over, and him and Dez start getting into it. And you were like, hey, man, that's just football stuff. He's a competitor. He wants to play. He's hot. He's mad, which I get. But you don't see Peyton Manning, when a coach is getting on him, push his coach out of the fucking way and be like, fuck you, man. The signs – Sam's right. I think the signs of this guy
– He didn't do that either. You're exaggerating what he just did. You said what he just did, and then you exaggerated and said you don't see Peyton Manning doing
with
it.
Peyton Manning, that was just an example.
Slapped the clipboard out of his hand when they were having an argument.
We did see Aaron Rodgers throw his iPad, but there's no history there. I mean, there's a history of – is this his only thing?
No, there's not. There's a history of one time of domestic violence.
Okay.
And then everybody wants to
read that.
What about this? What about that? And go, those are separate things, and that's not the history.
All right. Ari?
Imagine if you guys got called for domestic violence, let's just say, and then they go, see, he parked his car weird, he's getting tickets, he's still a head case.
Oh, I totally get it. And I think everybody should have an opportunity to, like, hey, man, I learned my lesson from this, and I'm not saying he has, and I'm not saying he hasn't. I'm not saying either. What I'm saying is, this is not a guy that I would want in my locker room.
No, for sure.
I would not want this guy in my locker room.
I disagree. He fights hard during games. I disagree with that completely. I would love him in my locker room.
He's in your locker room.
Yeah. The thing is, though, I think you're right. The NFL is not doing its job. I don't think it comes out of punishment, but they're not doing the job of stopping this.
Well, the truth is, it's like they just can't go, hey, you're fucking gone. There's a collective bargaining agreement, what they have to go through. And, like, as much as I love unions, and I love unions.
If they do, it's not working. That's not the answer to it.
What?
That's not the answer to it. And just like their orientations with new draft picks about how to handle money, that's also not working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a one-hour seminar about how to manage your money isn't going to fucking delete the years of programming they have that shows you bling, bling, buying everything.
Yeah, they should all have to be mandatory business managers or something.
I'm willing to bet you that at that fucking rookie symposium where other players are out there going like, look, man, I blew $37 million in 6 years, and I'm broke as fuck right now. So please listen in. I'm going to tell you guys what you should do. If you were to shoot the camera of that instead of the guy talking, go way in the back and look down at all of these rookies. They're all fucking looking up Ferraris on their phone because they now have enough money to blow it on shit.
Like, I'm not going to be you. Same shit as when somebody talks about drugs at your high school. When you're like, yeah.
Like, you're talking, I'm not listening, I'm just going to talk.
We all got
the I'm superhuman, I'm going to get the $100 million contract, and, you know, you just blow through it, and then they got their whole families on. I mean, that guy Phillips from the Raiders
and
got
friends.
Sued by his mother for $1 million. For
really?
Raising
for
him.
For raising him, not
for
because
raising
she,
him.
She, for because I paid more than $1 million in your lifetime to put you get you all the way to this point, so you owe me $1 million now that you're rich.
Yeah, unbelievable discussion.
Yeah, what guy was that? It was which guy was that? It was a cornerback.
Yeah, Phillips.
What was a first name, though? It's been a lot of Phillips.
Phillips.
Oh, Philip Phillips. Yeah, Philip Phillips.
Phillips.
God, it's going to drive me nuts, whatever his name was. But nonetheless, yeah.
So we talk UFC, we talk some NFL. I mean, Raiders look great.
Raiders look great. What's their record now?
5-4. 5-4.
5-4?
4-4. Let's check it. Are we 5-4? No. Steelers. Yes.
Oh, you guys had a bye already, right? Yeah. 4-4.
4-4, dude. We should have won last game. We should have beat Denver.
You're in a tough division.
6-2, dude.
I mean,
you're not in the division, obviously, but
everybody should be undefeated.
But we are in the playoff race, and that's all that matters.
If the playoffs start today, you're in.
Cowboys
are
not.
Oh, wait. No, you're not.
Yeah, we are.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we are.
Really?
Yep.
It would be Jets and Steelers would get the wild card. They're 5-4.
All right.
Well, but you're right there.
They're in
you're
the
right
race
there.
For sure.
We're in
oh,
there, dude.
Totally. I mean, Raiders are in the race. And
our offense is humming, dude. Now I know next year we just got to load up on defense, dude. Just get some free agents.
Make
a couple drafts.
I would love for the
Raiders to make the playoffs. I would love for the Raiders to make
the
playoffs.
The NFL is better when the Raiders are good. That's my opinion.
Yeah, the Brock Lesnar. Do you know, is there any word on who's coming to L.A.?
They're fighting really
hard right now. You know, it's all over the place with that. And, you know, the minute somebody says that they're coming, within 10 days, that city releases a statement about all of the efforts that they have made to get their stadium together and that there's no way we're coming.
Yeah.
So it's this big tug of war. I mean, I think it'll really come down to the last fucking minute. I think it'll be the Rams.
I think St. Louis should go to the Oakland.
I love it. I would
come
love
play
it.
With our come play with us. Come.
I would love St. Louis. Oh, go to Oakland?
No, have St. Louis and Oakland. St. Louis should go to Oakland. Come. We're building a stadium that can house two teams. Fuck San Diego. Come with us. Yeah. That's what Oakland should do.
So you're saying no one moves to LA?
No, I'm saying St. Louis moves. And Oakland moves.
Oh,
St. Louis.
Okay.
Because right now, Oakland and San Diego are doing something. And a button heads.
No, I hear you. You said St. Louis goes to Oakland.
Oh, goes
I got
and
you.
Talks to
you're
them.
You said St. Louis and Oakland come to L.A.
Yeah. That's what it should be. Because those are the only two teams that got fucked.
One team. Why are you straight going two teams?
Because this is the market. Every sport has two teams here, including soccer. Every sport has two teams in L.A. There's two teams in New York of every sport.
Oh, this hockey has Anaheim and L.A., yeah.
You know, Angels and Dodgers, Lakers and Clippers. There should be two teams, Raiders and it should be St. Louis. San Diego's only hope.
Football, we have San Diego. There's no San Diego anything else teams. I mean, Anaheim's
Padres.
As far as San Diego.
Padres.
In terms of drive.
I think San Diego should stay in San Diego.
I do too, man. That town needs that team.
I love that organization. And the
as a city, how do you build your baseball team? a new fucking stadium, but not build your football team? Oh, they went to the World Series?
Yeah.
He was like, we voted.
That's how. They have been
good. Hold on. San Diego went to the Super Bowl, the Chargers.
They didn't win, though.
In 94.
Yeah, like 25 years ago or something.
I know, still.
Literally, there was a vote.
San Diego. I mean, Superchargers.
There was a vote in November.
Chiefs were in Super Bowl I.
There was a vote in November of 98.
Yeah.
And it was right after we got swept by the Yankees in the World Series. So, yeah.
And they were like, so.
It was like,
we're is that your second team?
No.
You don't like the Padres at all?
No.
Fuck the Padres. Ugh.
Man, they paid so much for free agents and none of them panned out.
That's the scary thing about baseball.
But they kept
them,
so maybe next year.
Maybe they needed a little gelling. So I hope the Raiders come. I think this is Raider City. I mean, everyone keeps telling me there's Charger fans here, which I mean there's a couple. And then there's fucking St. Louis fans, which I think there's way more than Charger fans.
Do you think so? In L.A., you think there's more Rams fans than Charger fans?
100%.
Oh, because they used to be here?
Yeah.
It's not like when those two teams left. It's
but
not
they've
like
been gone
just
for
the
so
San Diego
long,
band,
all of those fans would have to be like in their 40s.
Fandom
they left with them.
Won.
They left with the Raiders. They left the Rams. I think so, too. No one jumped on San Diego. They jumped on every team equally after that.
Yeah. Dude, San Diego, even though they haven't won championships, but they're L.A.'s heated rival. It's like moving to Celtics.
San Francisco's L.A.'s heated rival.
They both are.
You mean as a town?
Yeah, as a town.
But in teams, the Niners
have won a lot more. We hate the Niners. The fucking Warriors can suck my dick.
Hey.
You know what I mean? And so there's been more
Warriors.
Titles. There's been more titles in the Bay Area. So you kind of get, in L.A., you get sick of that. And I know the Bay Area is sick of hearing about L.A. is so great.
Yeah.
San Diego is like your little fucking retarded brother that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, hey, look at this little guy. He's cool.
Who are we talking to? I was talking
about burrito rivalry you've got with San Diego, but that's about it. No sports rivalries.
LA doesn't like the Chargers.
That's not true. They don't like them, but they don't dislike them. They don't like hate them at all. LA kind of likes them. They're like, oh, yeah, cool Chargers.
Yeah, they're just.
I think if you move the Chargers to L.A., it will be a home game for the away team every time.
Well, because
if the Bears come here, it's all going to be Bears fans.
That's the problems with. Well, that's always been the problem with.
What about
LA,
if we get the Bills? It takes a while before you start liking your team.
The problem with L.A. football is everybody is so loyal to their teams, and nobody in L.A. is from L.A. So everybody here, dude, that's exactly why those teams move.
No, they didn't move.
The Dodgers.
No, that's not why they moved. They moved because the city wouldn't buy them new stadiums.
Right.
That's why.
So you're saying back then, yeah, they were selling out every single
game.
They
were doing well. They just wouldn't get new stadiums.
Even in the playoffs, Bo Jackson had to buy 5,000 seats so it wouldn't get blacked out.
Dude, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. If you move the Raiders here, it will be packed house.
I mean,
that's true.
I think whoever you move here for a season or two, it's going to be a packed house. Bottom line is, you got to put a winning team on the field.
There'll be stabbings though to make room for more people.
Nah, I mean, I think they're
that's
gonna build,
true.
I think people for fucking 5 years are going to go to that game just to be like, I want to check out this new state of the art stadium.
Absolutely, they'll be that. Know? And there's so many people here that you can almost fill it up with other teams' fans.
Absolutely,
but that's no matter who they get, the Bills, same shit. It's going to be other teams' fans.
I think
for
their best
chance.
I think their best chance to hit the ground running with the already existing fan base is the Raiders.
Yes, I think
there
so.
There are more Raiders fans in L.A. than any other team.
Yeah,
but look at any other city that gets someone else's team. It takes a few years before, unless you change the name, before you make it your own team.
That,
you know?
Yeah, but when the San Ravens Diego came, is Sandy. The Chargers are San Diego's team.
I know, but when the Ravens came, it wasn't like everyone was like, we're Ravens fans now. It was just like, it took a few years.
It sure did, and they had so much backlash for leaving Cleveland, which is such a football town, and that was really, you know, really all they had.
But
after
5-6 years,
it becomes
hard
to
see.
I think it also rejuvenates any fan who's not really a fan of one team to be like, cool, I got a hometown team now.
I don't know, man.
I'm gonna be an LA Actors fan.
Nope.
I think
it's going to take time.
I think if the Raiders come back here, and obviously they'd be the Raiders.
No Raiders! Stop even saying that. They're awful. They're an awful fan base. We don't want them here.
It's the city, not the team.
It is the team.
No, it's not.
Rams fans weren't the problem. And look at where they are now. They were a problem in L.A. They're
a
problem in
the Bay Area. Dude, you don't hear about it. You can go to any fucking team, and there's always fucking people fighting and punching and stabbing.
Raiders.
It's just the Raiders are the only ones that get broadcast.
That's not
true. It's just the truth.
Awful.
It is the truth, dude. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles.
You just have a joke about it. Anyone wearing Raiders anything.
Okay, don't bring my own material against me, dude.
I think that in a lot of ways, I think you're both right. Now, I get the fact that Sam's a Raiders fan. He wants the Raiders to come here. I do think they have the biggest fan base here. But I agree with you, Ari. After five years, if the Raiders suck, they're not going to be selling that new stadium out.
Exactly. Just like any team who start, like the Redskins don't sell out anymore. Yep. They were sold out for 20 years in advance, and now they don't anymore because they've been terrible.
Absolutely. Jacksonville, they can't fucking – they couldn't paper that stadium.
You know if Daniel Snyder sells that team, and he won't, but if he ever did, you know whoever buys that, the NFL is going to make him change that name.
The Raiders?
That's inevitable. And they should change the name.
They should change the name.
Oh, the Redskins.
You know who gets to say – whether this is an offensive term or not, the people that the term is about. You can't be a fucking rich white guy that's like, hey, man, it's not an offensive term.
Right.
You're not an Indian.
What, Raiders or Redskins?
Redskins. If
I'm... Who would be the Raiders? What, are you going to talk to pirates?
Yeah, the Somalians.
We've talked to some Somalians.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, it is not offensive.
Yeah, we like it.
We raid. Yeah, we stab. We like the fence.
he takes a knife out of between his teeth to fucking talk.
But here's the problem. Some Native Americans go, no, it's not offensive. And others go, yes, it's very offensive. So then where do you
okay.
go?
Yeah,
you
but
know
those
what?
Native Americans are the ones that are born here and, like,
and they're
half
also,
white.
They're also, you know who brings those Native Americans don't raise their hand at a press conference and go, you know what? They're standing next to Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, it's trotted out.
And he's got
owner.
His arm around him. He goes, my friend Tonto here doesn't think it's a problem. Right, Tonto? And he's like lighting a cigar with a $100 bill. And he goes, whatever you say, sir.
Like that Mexican and Donald
they
Trump.
They bring
campaign.
Him out and they go, well, we found this one lady. And she says it's not offensive at all. It's not like a bunch of American Indians are arguing with the other Native American Indians going, you know what? No, you're actually wrong. That's not offensive. We don't think
that's offensive. It's Redskin.
Come on. And it was always it wasn't a term that they called themselves. It wasn't it was a fucking knock that we used to, that white people used to call them.
Savages is still in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Savages? Mm-hmm. Well, they're not going to change that. But they maybe they will one day. But I love when people are like, how would you like it if they called it like the San Diego Jews? And I'd be like, I mean, how would I like it?
Or how would a lot of people cool. like it? Ari would buy a helmet and wear it on stage.
Yeah, and they show this big fucking nose. Dude, I would love to have those.
The face masks are like way bigger because you guys got those schnozzes.
They're just a
just rude.
A yarmulke of plastic on
just
top.
Just rude.
Yeah, the back of the helmet could be a yarmulke.
Exactly. Different color right on top.
Built-in curlies.
Yeah, he's got built-in curlies for the helmet.
Yeah.
Just rude.
Every
just
time I see a Hasidic rude. Jew, I just get so
excited.
Yeah,
let's start that. Let's change the Redskins to the Sheens.
You could go as a Hasid.
I think
for
I could.
Halloween or something.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone thinks I'm black. It's weird.
Did you guys hear about co-opting people's culture for Halloween?
What does that mean?
With that?
Do tell.
When
oh,
people
yeah.
People say like Ariani Hawani or whatever her name is. She dressed up as a Native American, like an old style, you know, with the feather and stuff. Like, what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Who's the girl?
Pocahontas.
And people are like, that's fucking bullshit. She's co-opting her. It's like, no, man. She's making fun of an old way to dress.
Yeah. She's just trying to dress hot. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like if you're just like a king from Poland in the 1500s, you're not co-opting Polish people. You're just saying,
I think
isn't it funny how they used to dress?
The one day is where it's
different
like,
than us.
You could dress.
Well, you know, it's
no,
like
shit.
Like
the hypersensitivity of everything is driving me nuts.
Where was I? I was looking. It was during the World Cup, and people were going off about this guy dressed like some guy dressed like you know, a poncho and had a horse and he had the sombrero and like Mexican Americans were going crazy. And then I go, look at these pictures of
was
all
he
hold
a
up.
Fan like someone in the stands or
yeah
okay.
And
was
go,
it in Mexico or was it Mexican American?
No, it was during the World Cup in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I go, well, let's look at these Mexican fans, and they were all dressed like that. I go, you're Mexican American, you're American. These people are straight up from Mexico, and they're dressed like this to support their teams. Like, whatever, I don't care. You know, it's just like, you, what are you doing,
no
dude?
No shit.
Yeah.
There are actually people who dress like that. You're just because, it goes back to my joke, just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's offensive.
Right.
Just because you don't like it, there's a difference.
Yeah, my grandpa fucking loves ponchos. He speaks nothing but Spanish.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's offensive because it's just not for you. And that's the problem. Right. If anyone blogs and then the internet just loves the fucking churn shit. It's like the bloggers and the mainstream media, they just, it's like, you ever see that dog that chases his own tail or the lizard that, the Native American thing where the lizard eats its own tail?
Yeah.
That's bloggers and mainstream, but they're sucking each other's dicks.
Yep.
And they just go around and they retweet each other's shit. And it's just this world in which nobody's really in. And it's just, they spin. And they just use it for clickbaiting. That's all Saturday Night Live does.
We pay attention to it.
Yes. We eat it up.
And the problem is, when someone like we know comes under attack, you want to be like, oh, who cares? But then you got to like, oh, I have to defend it. But then there's nothing really happening.
Yeah.
So we should all just ignore it.
It doesn't. Nobody wins. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, whatever you're talking about doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's just like, no harm has been done. And dude, it's so funny. I know you guys don't. I just, you know, I'll go on Huffington Post, and I can only take so much of that website. But
this is garbage now.
Yeah, it's just been hijacked by the extreme left. But man, it's like The View now is a Hunger Games, where just everybody's trying to kill off the other person. They're just.
No.
I think they're going to break into your house and steal your shit. That sounds Russian, dude.
I know.
That sounded fucking Russian. But all they do is they tell these girls to say controversial shit so they can just have their PR people click it out. And everyone's like, oh my God, Raven Simone says she doesn't like black names. Will she be kicked off the show? And it's literally every fucking day.
But people aren't getting tired of it. That's hilarious. The general population is not getting tired of it. They
loving
go,
it
well,
anymore.
I heard. By the way, just so you know, Travis Brown, completely acquitted of those charges.
Oh, real quick, too.
They had an FBI investigator, and he was like, this is baseless. You can end the suspension right now. There's nothing to this.
But since it's already been out there, people believe it.
Hey, Ari, what do you have you heard anything about this Missouri University thing?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It is very interesting because, you know, at first everybody was like overwhelmingly supporting these students, and then kind of you take a step back and you're like, you know, is this just activism gone crazy?
You think like, well, is the guy you're protesting, did he do anything?
Yeah.
Or did he act quick enough? Like, why does he become the face of your problem?
And you can't say
what they're doing is wrong because then you're an asshole.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, they got mad at him because he was driving in his car and they surrounded him and he didn't want to talk to them about the racial.
They got mad because he wasn't acting fast enough on these racial things that happened.
Yeah. There was a football player was walking and the guys in a car were tossing things at him and shouting racial slurs, and then he like complained and like nothing happened.
Like somebody yelled a racial slur at the Black Student Union, and it's like, okay, but then it's like, I don't know what you'd want him to do, full on investigation.
And if he does investigate, listen. I have no problem. It's your university. You guys are going to do whatever you want to. And I think this is, you know, if you want to blame somebody for a lot. Listen, I'm against racism. I don't think you'll ever get to a place where you'll never have anybody say racist shit again.
No.
I just don't think it's possible. I just think that everybody's an individual. They're going to say whatever the fuck they want. And if we just fly off the hook off of everything, if this is multiple things, like, I mean, by multiple, like 20, 30 incidents over a couple years.
No, they said it was.
It was about Jews.
It was
and
7
like,
months of like incidents that were happening in the
over and over again.
Yeah, they said
the
last one.
See, I couldn't find a story.
Yeah, I couldn't find that either. All I saw in the story was 2 things about black people, 1 thing about Jews.
Oh, no.
About
it was a shit covered swastika that was in a residency, and then the other one was a guy getting shouted at with racial slurs.
Okay,
I mean, I can look more if you guys want.
Can you find
the
actual incident?
Swastika. It wasn't on a synagogue or anything.
No,
it was in a stall. And it's like, I don't want to downplay what the swastika means. Especially to, like, the people I come from. But, like, sometimes you're just like, huh, I'm going to carve something. What can I – no, I'll do that. And it's not the same as, like, targeting Jews.
Yes. But what it is...
install.
Well, we've got, you know, like, you know, college used to be a place for critical thinking and progressive thinking. Now it's just gotten this, like, super left-wing lynch mob mentality where, like, if you say anything that has a word that they don't like, they want you gone.
They want to be activists, and they blame people instead of like actually trying to solve anything. It's just it's not in a great place right now, activism. But also it's like remember when they interrupted Bernie Sanders, Black Lives Matter movement people interrupted Bernie Sanders and said fuck you, you need to handle this, and he's like, I have 40 years experience helping civil rights.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah. And but they're like, just we don't care like,
oh,
because
we need to answer for this. Like,
yeah,
here
it's what you're allowing is children to just react to everything. And listen, if this guy got out, he said, you know, I don't think we have a problem. And people are like, no, we got a problem. He's like, no, I don't think we have a problem. Then get rid of him. I mean, if you presented to him logical steps to do it, I don't know, man. I'm just getting a little nervous that, you know, just young children who haven't lived a little life have been taught by MTV that they have emotional knee-jerk reactions to shit are just going to start calling for people's heads. And anybody who has an opinion that you don't agree with, they should be fucking gone. Because guess what? That's no fucking different than when someone says, hey, if you're gay and you want to marry somebody, you're going to burn in hell and you shouldn't be allowed to do that. It's just if somebody does agree with you, you just think they're gone. That's no different on both fucking sides. Just because you think one is more right or more wrong than the other doesn't mean it fucking changes anything, dude. People should have open discourse. You should be able to discuss everything with people who don't agree with you.
Exactly. Exactly. The one thing I remember, the worst one, is this University of, I think, Ohio professor. He brought up, it was a law class or pre-law class, and he brought up, this is when Steubenville, remember Steubenville rape case?
Yeah.
That girl was like passed out and they were dragging her.
Yeah.
The football players. And he brought up, he goes, should the punishment perhaps be different when a woman gets assaulted when she's conscious versus unconscious? Or should they be the same punishments? And they went crazy on him and they called for his job. And they said he has to be out of here. And I brought it up on a podcast once. And Keith and the girl, and Keith, he's like, who's kind of conservative, he's like, yeah, there's a time and place for everything. I was like, yeah. And that time and place is college law class.
Yes.
It's when you talk about law. But they want to make it seem like you're saying people shouldn't be punished for rape. It's almost he has to change his wording to, should the punishment of rape be worse if they are conscious? Because if you say it like different, then it's like, fuck you, you're writing off rape.
He's just
and they
trying
called
to,
for his job, and they almost got him fired. And it's like, he's saying, let's discuss these things.
Yes, that's exactly what he's talking about.
And now you can't discuss it because you might get fired.
And what you do is you don't learn. Get rid of them. You just push them to the side where they're with other people on the side who think the same. Now you start getting people talking them and by them. See, my buddy in high school, Marcus, he was going to either go to Washington University or a predominantly black college. And his father said, you don't go to the predominantly black college. Go to where there's all races because that's life. You're going to interact with everybody. Life isn't just black people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like go where there's different thoughts because that's where you're going to run into the real world. And what we're doing in college is we're teaching people that just because somebody doesn't agree with you and you should just have an emotional reaction to it and get rid of them, then that's not life because you're going to run into somewhere where you have a boss that doesn't think like you and you're going to go out there thinking you can tell him what to do and he's going to be like, you know what? You're fired. Get out of here. Instead of learning to have a discussion on the subject matter.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly.
Had a talk.
It's really, it's just not. It's just, but it's like here's the deal. Attell said this once. He goes, the finger will turn on all of us. There's no rhyme or reason to it. When it comes, and you either survive it or you don't.
Yeah, and you just
you can't fight. Ayn Rand said this in The Fountainhead. You can't fight senselessness.
Yeah,
it's unfightable.
Yeah, dude, people just discussing crazy.
Here's the thing. It's a funny thing. It's all these liberals, college educated, and it's not college students. I think it's just after college who are writing the blogs and the public. Like, the Huffington Post doesn't hire college kids. They hire people.
They do. They do. Like the Asian kid in San Diego State who told Jerry Seinfeld what funny was,
oh,
what comedy is.
Yeah, that wasn't in Huffington Post.
Yeah, it was.
No, that was just something he wrote for a blog for San Diego State. They might have, like, picked it up or something. But
well, what? No, he was like a, like, you know, Huffington Post did this young writer generation of college kids.
Oh, really?
Because that's who they play to. Because that's who marketers want, the people with the disposable income. So you allow people who haven't lived life to tell people how life is lived.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's not, college is not life. I talk about this on stage. College is like being a fucking a rapper,
not,
you know?
Not. It's not
easy,
like,
pussy, cheap booze.
You get out of college and you go, "Fuck, man! I thought that was being an adult."
Yeah,
now, this sucks.
Yeah, and
there's
it's just
not
like,
there's not 40,000 21 year olds around me every day.
Yeah, the funny thing is, the people who are using the terms of, like, especially say, like, jokes, you know, like rape jokes. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't say this on stage. I mean, the one I care about mostly is comedy. The ones who are saying that sound almost identical to the Republicans who are trying to defund the arts in the 80s, 90s.
I agree. Yeah.
It's objectionable.
Agree.
This is not art. It's not art. Just like, well, that joke wasn't funny. You can say it if you're good enough. This wasn't good enough. They were saying the same stuff. Like, oh, too much nudity. This is not art. It's just you don't like it.
Yeah.
So don't watch it.
And here's the thing, and it's not like it's a concrete plan, and we're almost out. It's not like it's a concrete, like, rule for everybody. They apply it to people they don't personally like. So, like, if, let's say, a Sarah Silverman goes up and says it, who I think is funny, they laugh at it because she's so crazy.
Yeah.
Or she's saying it ironically. I've heard people say that on television. You know, Sarah goes up, she says that ironically. She's making fun of the people
and
who
what
think
that means,
funny.
What they want is you to shove it down their throat how ironic it is.
Yeah.
You can't do a light irony.
Yeah.
You can't skirt by it and hope the crowd gets it. You have to shove it down their throats. That's what they want. You have to be so obvious about it. And you're like, that's not the kind of art that we do.
Yeah.
We don't want it that obvious.
Yeah, and you're just picking – it depends on who you personally like.
Yeah. Well, Louis does it, but Louis does it good. Okay, so what your point is, what you're really saying is you can only do something artistically if you get it to a certain level of proficiency that you stand by.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
And that's just like you have no respect for the art form of stand-up.
Yeah.
You just don't respect it as an art form.
And
that's
you
why
don't,
you're
you like way. Louis because something about Louis makes you feel like he's in your tribe. Like,
sure.
Oh, he's kind of a nerd. He's a little chunky. He's bald. He's not like this frat alpha guy. So I can take it from him. But, you know, if Larry the Cable Guy says it, oh, he's a white old dude, and white old dudes have oppressed everybody, women and minorities, so we can't take that joke from him because if people start laughing at it, then it becomes real. You know, it's not. So we got to go. We had a great show. Ari, I love you. T-Bo, I love you. Frank, great job. Fun show. A lot of yelling today. A lot of yelling.
Ari, welcome back, buddy.
Missed you.
Thanks.
It's cool that kid called in.
What?
It was cool that kid called in.
Yeah, he loves the show. All right, Ari, we'll see you next week, dude.
All right.
Bye, guys.